see you every morning.
Yeah.
I want you to be a maggid. You know what a maggid is?
Storyteller.
To give the Rebbe Musa. And you're to tell me every morning when you see me, Rebbe, you're not 75, you're not 25.
Rebbe, it's not even funny. This morning, after I didn't see you, right. I said to Josh Gutenberg, you'll have to tomorrow. I said, Rebbe always comes in Sunday morning and says, I'm alive and kicking. I didn't see you this morning.
I was driving the highway to avoid the rush coming back from me. Don't ask. I overdid it. So remember, you're the maggid meisharim for me. And you smack my face every morning and you say, Rebbe, you're 75, you're not 25. Gentlemen, let us begin. Today is Lag BaOmer, April 28th, 2013. I apologize, but I have a cold, so my voice is affected. But I need a palela, Kadosh Baruch Hu, who give me strength. And I know when I teach Torah, I always feel better. Today is an important shiur. First of all, we spoke a lot about the Shulchan Aruch and how to paskin. Can we paskin against the Shulchan Aruch? And I developed ideas here in class, which I said, I believe this is what my Rebbe thinks. Spoke with the Rav about it many times. I received an email from William Gewirtz, that's Josh Berman's great uncle. And I was very, very happy because he claims that Reb Aaron Lichtenstein, quoting the Rav, who quoted Reb Moshe, who said, and he summarizes what I said in class in one sentence, Mir paskin from gemarim lishoinim kontrolliert mit dem Shulchan Aruch. So in other words, it's exactly what I said in class, that the Vilna, the Gaon's tradition, we have to think independently. But ultimately, our thought has to be controlled by the Shulchan Aruch. And as we spent so many weeks, if you do paskin against the Shulchan Aruch, you better know full well what you're doing. Now, we went into the Kuntas Ishach, and we saw many interesting details from the Kuntas Ishach. And I mentioned that according to the Kuntas Ishach and the Milano Yotegadom, Rabbi Shabtai Kohen, we have a grandson here sitting in class, Rabbi Rubin. Rabbi Rubin, I thank you for your kind message, and I totally agree. Milan Yotek Adol. So you understand, this is where subjectivity plays a big role in halacha. And Hefsid Meruba, you know, everything we spoke about, Tzorach Yontif, Shabbos, Archim, this is subjectivity. Who's poor, who's not poor? And this is Reb Moshe, to give you a simple example. All of you know that the Achronim of Mekil, to tell a goy to turn the heat on Shabbos during the winter. And there's a whole slew of Achronim, professor, my classmate, Dr. Grach, Reb Chaim's Rebbe at Hebrew U, Professor Katz, Jacob Katz, the famous Reb Yaakov Katz, wrote an entire volume on Goy Shel Shabbat. And one of the chapters is devoted how over the years we become used to heat. It becomes already a sakana if you don't have heat. So Amira Lakam is Mutlan Shabbos. Reb Moshe already got the Shiloh with air conditioning. When I grew up, there was no air conditioning. Who knew about air conditioning? Today, my grandchildren are mad at us when they come into our house during the summer. We don't have the air conditioning on. What? How can you live without air conditioning? So Reb Moshe too puts air conditioning on the level of heat. Now, I also spoke about the frying pan. So Rabbi Wiener, who's sitting here, told me something very interesting. That, what was it, the Yachid Kala in Boston, people went up, shared rooms together, and they had a shiloh with a frying pan in a kitchen which was not theirs. So the Rav started to tell them they have to do a Lieben Gomer. What I told you in class, when I told you the story with Mechalar and Ruby Eggman and yours truly. So the Rav started to say a Lieben Gomer. When the Rav found out that the kitchen is not theirs, he was makil with Hagalah. Mm-hmm. So you see again, it's the human factor here that a posek needs, and you have to be an adam gadol. It's not a kid who can do this. It's someone who knows how to learn and to paskin. Now, I also threw out that there's certain areas where the tradition from time immemorial is lahakel, if we possibly can, obviously. So I mentioned in passing something that happened in Torah Vadas when I was growing up, and they told this, I guess he had to be a Bar Tshuva, to find a Italian girl in Brooklyn College and have her convert and run away where no one will know you. I didn't give you all the details. Someone asked me after class. I can't go into all the details, it would take weeks, but I'll give you the sources. It's a very interesting source. If a mamza marries a shivcha kanamet, then they have children, and when the lady reaches her menopause, she can't have children anymore, the husband frees the children who are vadim kananim. They're now total Jews, and they're not mamzerim, according to the Mishnah. I give you the source. This gives birth to a forism that you'll all recognize. Kedushin Perikimul Mishnah Yud Gimel, Rabbi Tafan Omer, Yecholem Mamzerim Utacher, Ketzat, Mamze, Shenasa, Shivcha, Avlad Eved, Shichriru, Nimzah HaBen, Ben Chorin. Okay? And it's the Gemara right at the end of Perek Shlishi, Samach Tet Amud Aleph in Kedushin. This Gemara gives birth to a popular expression that if you have money, you can be Metachia Mamza. Why? He has to buy a Shifka Kananit. If he has money, he has a solution. But this is, it's very difficult to put this into practice. You have to be a big Talmud Chacham. In other words, the guy who runs off with the Italian woman has to have her converted not to be a Shifcha Kananit. Again, she'll agree to marry a nice Jewish boy. Then, when the children are older, you mishachrer otam. Kesef, out of this came the aphorism. You'll see it in the Rishonim. Kesef mitacher mamzerim. So, on a more popular level, it simply means if a guy's a mamzer, you know, a rough guy walks into shul, throws around money, suddenly he's the president of your father's shul. You follow me? This is, and that leads to a famous joke that you all know with the mamzer and the president and the rabbi. But that's where it comes from. The sugya is in Kedushin. And you can take it further. A lot has been written on it.
Did Rav Hutner actually matter?
This was in Torah Vadas. It had nothing to do with Rav Hutner. Yeah, this really happened because it, in those days, there was direct interaction between Ritz and Torah Vadas. Iron Berlin, it was... We didn't have the enmity of today. We were in one camp together, a handful of Orthodox Jews. So I don't know who the person was or anything, but everyone said, ah, the Rosh Yeshiva, whoever was the Rosh Yeshiva gave him this eitzah, was very smart. Why did he tell him an Italian girl? There are two reasons. If you grew up in an Italian neighborhood like I did, you'll understand right away. One reason is Italians look like Jews. They'll never know the kids are not Jewish. Two, their family values are exactly the same as Jews. A mafia guy will do anything to honor his wife and daughter. He'll kill you at night. But by day, he has exactly the same values that we have. But of course, you got to find a girl willing to convert. She has to give up, you know, the hardest thing for an Italian, they're Roman Catholics, you have to give up belief in Jesus. And while for us it's easy to say that, I've dealt with non-Jews, you have no idea how deep that belief is, lower layman. So it's not so simple. But anyway, that was the Shatat Chak I spoke about. Okay, and before I go further, the class was rebuked by Josh Schneider because I asked you, what do you call the vehicle that the Belzer Rebbe traveled in? And Josh writes, the boys in class must be forgetting their English. The Belzer Rebbe was traveling in the thing you live in. It's called an RV, a recreational vehicle. So that was the word. Remember, I asked you, what do you call this vehicle? They were criticizing the Belzer Rebbe. You know, he was just in Belz. It's all story. His first grandson is getting married. So everyone is criticizing. The truth is, have you ever seen the Belzer Rebbe? He would not fit into a regular car. They have to have something bigger. He's not exactly a lightweight.
Okay.
Please don't embarrass the Belzer dynasty, which my wife is from. All right. We don't have to say how much weight, but he does weigh a little bit more than Rakefet and Mark put together. Okay. All right. Now, today's shiur, the heart of today's shiur is extremely interesting. And it's something you'll think about the rest of your lives. You can give endless lectures. Not so black and white. We ended off the shiur last week quoting the Shach, and I gave you the sources, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the Rambam Hilchot Mamrim, and you all know that Suffolk the Oraita Lechumra, Suffolk the Rabbanim Lekula. We all know that. And as I told you, if you go through responsa literature, and I don't know, in the course of my lifetime, I've gone through thousands upon thousands, if not tens of thousands of units of responsa literature. What the Gedolei Yisrael are constantly trying to do is to see whether it's an Issa D'Oraita, an Issa D'Rabbanan, and once it's an Issa D'Rabbanan, you can add Sveikat, you can add Snifim, you can try very hard Lahakel. And I gave you many examples, I don't want to repeat them, but the greatest example is Hakuna. Where following World War II, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of women got a heter to remarry, although there was no body. And all that is based upon circumstantial evidence. There's no way you can dig up bodies. Hitler, what Hitler did to us, it's beyond comprehension. I've told you more than once, I suffer, I don't know. At times I want to get on a plane and drop a hydrogen bomb on top of Berlin, and then I say to myself, you'll kill innocent people, what do you accomplish? Some of them, they were Nazi, they were Germans who risked their lives to save Jews. It's a difficult situation, and my niece just told me she won a scholarship to go to Germany, represent the OU there, so my wife and I have mixed emotions. But all these tshuva, because logically, if a person doesn't come back after World War II, he was killed. Once a rove, the oraita, you can be matter the world. The rabbanan made the takana of the gezera of Maim Shemla himself, the Gemara in Yevamot, we spoke about it last week. And once it's a rabbinic law, you try your best, laharabot b'sveikat. Is it infallible? No. And remember last week I told you about the Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank with the Havkat Kedushin, with the Bitul Haget in front of one person. So I got an email, did any other Rabbanim do this too? All I can tell you is that I was contacted by Poskim in America, who asked for a copy of the letter I got back in the early 70s or late 60s when I came in Aliyah, the Eidut Nemana, what Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank did. So I assume others did it too. But in order to do it, you need the first husband around, and he has to be willing to do what the Gemara says in Gittin, the Sugya Lamed Aleph, Lamed Gimel, Sugya and Gittin. It's an interesting concept. But what's interesting is Rav Tzvi Pesach never published that shiva. And the reason he said was very simple. He didn't want the kids on the street criticizing him. And or double guessing him. And it's like the websites of today. There was a big asifa in America, asif the websites. Pornography, terrible things. I don't know, I never saw pornography in every website. But I tell you, the websites, what I have seen is endless lashon hara, endless rechilim, endless amratzot. And the kids in the street, you know, the average yeshiva kid barely knows how to learn. All right, it's good, he's learning, he can master a few lines of Gemara. But the whole ma'of, how do you say that in English? Ma'of. The whole horizon of Shas and Paiskin and Psak is limited to the chosen few who learn day and night, who have Siyata Deshmaya, who have good minds, who have Yiran Shemayim, etc. Rav Ovadia is a posek. Rav Heschel Shechter, my chaver. He's a very quick posek. People criticize him. I've seen the websites. Idiots write in, he paskins too quickly, he doesn't think. They don't know Rav Heschel. I know Rav Heschel from the day, if you read my, study my new book, Washington, I described the day he came to New York. Rav Heschel's mind works very quickly. And he doesn't dilly-dally. He's not an Ungarische posek. He's not a Sephardic posek that has to deal with every viewpoint. He has certain atahar, a way to go. And he will paskin very quickly. And I see on the internet, they're criticizing. All right. Rav Tzvi Pesach was smart. He didn't publish, but a guy named Ani Rothkopf / Aaron Rakefet / Yitzchak Shachar was even smarter. Okay? He came in Aliyah, so he'll never make a living. And Moshe, you read me? And he tried to get information. He wanted to try. That letter is invaluable. I once made copies years ago, gave it out to the Kollel when I spent months on this topic. And that's how that letter circulated. So, Safek Rabbanim Lahakel, Safek Derayta the Lahachmir. It's only one tremendous little problem. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. Omer Rabchia Barashi, Omer Rav HaMadlik Ner Shel Chanukah Tzarech Levarech. It's very interesting. Megillat Esther, we have an entire tractate, Masechet Megillah. It's a beautiful tractate, it's an easy tractate to learn. It's got halacha, got akarata. I always say if someone is first starting to learn, you know, someone who's older about tshuva, but he has a PhD in rocket science, let him learn Megillah. Arvei Psachim, and then let him learn Megillah. After that, he can handle the rest of the Shas. So, but it's interesting. Chanukah, you have a few daf in Bamen Matlikin, that's all you have. It could be Chazal were upset with the Maccabim. You're familiar with that, the Ramban, I mean, because they claimed Kuhuna in addition to Malchut. And I think Chazal would be very upset with some of our Rabbanim today with recreational vehicles, etc. Malchut and Kuhuna rolled into one. But okay, that's life today. It's Rishon, it's Malchut, it's different lectures, not for now. They don't have Rishon, yes, you have to have, to someone who knows Rishon, when you, it's a rubric. I mentioned the name, my mind already on the 10,000 hours of lectures are in, go through my mind in 1 second. Malchut. Anyone here on Rishon and Einuko, a grandson of Rishon? Anyone married?
I was once at a table where there was somebody from Rishon, and every few minutes was looking at the watch, not to see the time, let you know
the jewelry.
That's
the expression, a Rishon and Einuko. We have a good friend, Malkus classmate. That's the Meshvitzer Rebbe's daughter. If she didn't come with expensive jewelry, it just was not right. We'd rebuke her. That's the way you go. Where's the jewelry? But Chanukah, the Gemara wants to know, what's Chanukah about? What bracha? So, my Mavarech. Mavarech Hashem Kedushanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu L'hadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. When you see a Nedot, you have to say Shasanisim L'avoteinu. The Rav told Danny Chil told it to me, that Rav Chaim walked home from Shul on Chanukah with his eyes closed. It's like a Hasidic story. I don't believe it, but the Rav told it to Danny Chil, and Danny Chil is a sharpshooter. He's a world-famous lawyer. He's absolute truth. That's what he told me. Rebbe told me on the train, he told me how they were coming into New York on the New Haven Railroad. The Rav got on in Boston, where did Danny? Danny's father was the Rav of Rhode Island. Yes, ask your grandfather, he'll tell you. And on the train, the Rav tells him, Rav Chaim walked with his eyes closed and two balabatim walked him home holding on to him. So Danny said, Rebbe, why did he close his eyes? Because he held, if he saw Hanukkah lights, he had to make a bracha, shasanisim lavotenu bayamim haheim basman hazeh. So this way, he wants to go home and make a bracha. He didn't want to see any lights before he made the bracha. Fine, see him make a bracha. No, gentlemen, bracha, they're a serious matter. You can't make a bracha levatala, lo tisad, shem l'shem l'shav. And he said, you're right, you all know what we do. The Ashkenazim go crazy with the tefillin in the morning, the shel rosh, bruchin kavod, machut olam ve'ed, maybe it needs one bracha, not two bracha. So what's that? How do you make a bracha? So the Gemara says, heichon sivanu, where did they command us? Not in the Torah. Rava avyama milotas, the pasuk in the Varim Lamed Bet, pasuk zayin and hazinu, you're not allowed, excuse me, the Varim, this has to be the pasuk in Shoftim, the Varim Yud Zayin, excuse me. Lo tasur, whatever the Rabbanim tell you, you cannot change what they tell you. They commanded you to make a bracha. Rav Nechemya ma shal avicha v'yagetcha skeinecha v'yomru lach. That's from Hazin. That's from the Varim right at the end, Lamed Bet, pasuk Zayin. Well, what have you just heard? You just heard that a bracha is because of two psukim in the Torah. Lo tasua. If this is the case, there's a tremendous question. Every din de rabbanan is a din de oraita. Why do we light Hanukkah candles? Because the Rabbanim commanded us. Lo tasur. Why do we make a bracha, make an Erev? Did you ever make an Erev Tchumim? An Erev Chatzegat? What did I have before Pesach? Right or wrong? Take down the old matzah, put in the new matzah. You make a bracha. The Erev we make when Yom Tov falls, Erev Shabbos, 2 days Yom Tov, Erev Shabbos, etc. Yom Tov, Erev Shabbos, we make a bracha too, Erev Tavshilim. In Israel, it's rare because it would have to fall Friday and Shabbos, because if it falls Thursday, Friday we're off, whereas in America, you would have to make an Erev Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, which is quite often in America. Erev Tavshilin, you make a bracha. Gee, everything we do, we make a bracha. Make a bracha. It means every Rabbanan has a Dioraita in it. Okay, it's a very important question. I'll give you all the sources, but first I want to introduce you to a very interesting volume. And what's your first name?
Yeah. Daniel.
I can't hear?
Daniel.
Daniel, you're from England. Does the name Harry Schimmel mean anything to you?
Schimmel, is it?
I don't know if he's still alive. This volume came out in 71. He was a lawyer. Big Talmud Chacham. England, for a little community that really has no great yeshiva in it, has published a great deal. When all is said and done, when you use the Sansino, you got to shake with fear. They didn't put that out, Artscroll. Artscroll had 1,000 people all over the world. Sansino, here you have Harry Fisher, wrote a beautiful book, The Oral Law, published by Feldheim, 71. And he was Torim Derech Eretz. You can read about his biography here. And he raises this very question. Gives you all the sources. But I don't want to give you the sources in Hebrew, in English. Let me give you the sources in Hebrew. First of all, you have the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvah. How many of you are familiar with the Sefer HaMitzvah? The way it's constructed. The Shrashim, the Mitzvah. Sefer HaMitzvah, Moriah Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, it was, let me say, one of his favorite pastimes to deal with the Sefer HaMitzvah. He revered the Reb Chaim Heller edition. That's when we first learned about Reb Chaim Heller, who was his, Rakefik writes about it in his two volumes on the Rav, and Dr. Tova Lichtenstein says, I hit the nail on the head. He was the Rav's father figure in Berlin. There was no Reb Moshe there, there was no Reb Chaim there, but there was Reb Chaim Heller. And Liet had the privilege of knowing Reb Chaim Heller. His grandson was my classmate. And that's how I knew who Reb Chaim was. I write about this in Washington, and I describe it to you. We're playing ball in front of the yeshiva, two high school kids, Ani Rothkopf and Izzy Perlmutter. And I already knew who the Rav was, Rav Soloveitchik. He was in high school. And the Rav walks over to us. Yisrael, I azay devil dachzen, your grandfather wants to see you. Then he walks away with the Rav, and my teeth are falling out. I'm astounded. And then I found out, Izzy Perlmutter's mother was one of Reb Chaim Heller's daughters. And the Rav, his edition, the Rav claimed was the most accurate edition of the Sefer HaMitzvah because Reb Chaim Heller knew Arabic. He knew how to retranslate. He knew when the translation was right. One time the Rav needed a Sefer HaMitzvah, and the Rav was not like me. I come to class, everything is prepared. I work very hard preparing the lectures. You see me around. And sometimes I don't want to see you because I don't want to be disturbed. I'm running from my office to the Xerox machine. The Rav would come to class, open the Gemara. It was a Rambam there. But that was it. As he needed Svarim, there was a Shikingel who ran up one flight to the Gottesman Library on the second floor. Whatever the Rav wanted came down a minute later. So one time the Rav asked for a Sefer HaMitzvah. And they brought him an old standard edition of the Sefer HaMitzvah. Name, nishtas, noch, and with Rabbi Chaim Heller, he kicked the kid upstairs again, and he had to bring down a Rabbi Chaim Heller Sefer HaMitzvah. So the Sefer HaMitzvah is very interesting. Everyone thinks it's only a list of mitzvah tasei, mitzvah lo tasei. You all know there's one. You can't escape the Sefer HaMitzvah, because the Rambam did not count mitzvah yishev Eretz Yisrael as one of the mitzvah tasei. And you all know how much has been written on that question, how many shirim have been given on the Avnei Nezer. We all chip in on that issue. But I once heard the Rav too. I mean, I have a nice approach, which I heard from Rebbe and I developed further, but it's not for now. But what you don't know about the Sefer Mitzvah, don't realize there's an introduction of rules and regulations. What is counted as a mitzvah d'oraita. And in the first Shoresh, the Rambam is going crazy against the Bahag, the Baal Hilchot Gedolot, because he counted Hanukkah, Megillah, as part of the Tayag mitzvah. And the Rambam goes in, if you're going to start counting mitzvot derabbanan, we have hundreds more mitzvot. And he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, Asher kiddushonu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu shalavicha v'yagedcha lo tasu mikola yegidlecha yeminu smal. Well, if that's the case, why only Hanukkah and Purim? Erev, Netilat Yadayim. So, the Rambam lays down a rule, you have to go through it, that they're tayag mitzvah. The Gemara, you will recall the Gemara from Masechet Makot, or Rav Simlai, tayag mitzvah, and it's only the mitzvah that are explicit in the Torah. Yes, the rabbis have a right to give us additional obligations. They have a right to command us to make a bracha, but it's not the oraita. You have to differentiate. Okay? The Ramban, and you go into the Ramban, it's a long Ramban. Rabbi Lichtenstein, when he was asked a year or two ago, interviewed by the newspapers here, Rabbi Aaron today is, you know, very, very highly regarded. Everyone knows about him. It's a process that happens, I guess, when you're older. So they asked Rabbi Aaron, who do you fashion yourself after? And he answered, the Ramban. Whatever the Ramban touched, Nachmanides, unbelievable insight. What a prolific mind. So he has a whole discussion. He tries to defend the Bahag. He critiques the Rambam. But nevertheless, the question haunts us. If the rabbis have all this power, then how can you say Safek the Rabbanon Lekula? Every rabbinic law has a Torah law in back of us. Lo Tasur. What are we throwing out the rabbis? What are we, reformed Jews? What are we, mocking rabbinical authority? What is the Shach talking about? What is the Gemara in Bodhisattva talking about? What is the Rambam in Hilchot Maamrim? Safek the Oraita Lachomer, Safek the Rabbanan Lakula. Even if it's not counted formally in the Tanayak Mitzvah, but Lo Tasur. Shalavich v'yagetcha, skenecha v'yom ruach. And the Ramban gives an explanation that every Achron has to come back to this. Heim gazru v'heim gazru. The Rabbanim have this power. They can introduce new laws. But the same rabbis who have the power to introduce new laws have the power to say, Safek the Rabbana Lekula. Got it? Heim Gazru v'Heim Gazru. It's brilliant. If they have the power to introduce, they can make it conditional upon the concept that it is not as stringent as a Torah law. And when there is doubt, you can be lenient. And if you take that approach, everything is solved. It's not that we treat rabbinic law haphazardly or desolatory. Chas v'chalila. It's not that we treat rabbinic law as second best. The truth of the matter is that most of the life we live is rabbinic law. Tarat Mishpacha, Shiva Nikim. Benot Yisrael Chachmiru Al Atzman, the Gemara Nidah. Shabbos, Muktza. Rabbinic law, Muktza, no lad. Hachana. All the laws of cooking on Shabbos. Why do you have to have a blech? Because someone would play with the light if the light was not covered. All right, we don't have ovens where we have to pour ashes on today. It's a rabbinic law. Shema, Shema. We don't breathe by the light of a candle. Shemiyateh taner. Kashrut. Two sets of dishes. The oraita, you can have one set of dishes. So you're careful not to use a ben yomo. Right or wrong? It's a rabbinic law. Pesach. It can go on and on. But in rabbinic law, built into the ordinance of the rabbis is the concept Suffolk Derabbanan Lekula. Everyone with me? And this is the difference. And we can say there is a difference, even though we make a bracha, between a Deoraita and a Derabbanan. Fine. What I just said, I mentioned, I'm leading into something that's going to tantalize you, but what I just said, I gave a share on this maybe 20, 30 years ago. Alan Blau, Dr. Alan Blau, my student, sent me a fascinating source and taught me something that I didn't know. Watch. First, let me tantalize you with the problem, and then I'll give you the source that Dr. Blau sent me. He's a fine Talmud Chacham and a Yerushalayim. He and his wife, the children. His father was a Talmud Mufak of the Rav, Bobby Blau. Put out a sefer years ago with a lot of Torah from the Rav. At Panevi Yeshne, Mashuhu, because that the sefer is called. Gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. I'm going to snap my fingers. You had a Shabbos together, right, in the Kollel? Who did the cooking?
He had a caterer.
All right, I snap my fingers, the caterer walks in. And they got mixed up. If you know what happened in Baltimore in the 80s, it's a famous story. This caterer, it's a famous, famous story that they owned two different catering establishments. And when the Mizrahi arranged the boat ride, they never told them they want the kosher catering. They figured for sure Rabbi Heinemann's Hashgacha took for granted it's kosher. No, turned out it was treif, Basa v'chalav, they were Geuze Tainet, if you recall, it's a famous story in Baltimore. Geuze Tainet, there was a boat ride of the Mizrahi. Terrible, these are all from people. So let's say the caterer made a mistake and he walks into this room and we're hungry with a pig on a tray with an apple in his mouth. The way they cook it for Christmas. They're going to bring it in now, slice the meat. Well, it was Shabbos. The hostess asked me if I want to slice the turkey. I said, no, let your grandson do it. I'm not such a good slicer. Tell me, I want to ask you, Herbie.
Yes, sir.
How do you feel seeing a pig with an apple in its mouth ready to eat?
How should I feel?
I can tell you that I would throw up on the spot.
That's a terrible thing.
What do you say?
Gemara
Chulin. And the Gemara Chulin contradicts me. You're right. But I want to develop an idea. With all due respect to the Gemara Chulin, I'm going to give you a source. There's a Yiddish word, egelhaftig. I know, how would you translate that? Disgusting, but egelhaftig is better. Now let me give you another example.
German.
It's Yiddish. Ich kenne das from Yiddish. Ken sein, it's German, but ich kenne das from Yiddish. Let me give you another example. Let me contrast it. The caterer comes in, and he has chicken, and it was broiled, and he says, we made a mistake, we broiled the chicken in sour cream. Beautiful chicken, sour cream. No, how do you feel? Disgusted? No, all right, I can't eat it. It's chicken and sour cream. See, there's a big difference. Psychologically, it's a big difference. Chicken and sour cream. Or as some people in the left-wing Orthodox camp will say, what are you getting so excited, Rebbe? It's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, and let's see if we can find a way out. An Issa D'Oraita, they're a little frightened. But an Issa D'Rabbanan, it's all right, the rabbis instituted, but it's not a toeva, ti'uv. You know who says this? The Meshech Chachma. Now, a few words about the Meshech Chachma, Rav Meir Simcha HaKohen. You have to understand, the Meshech Chachma had a brilliant, brilliant mind. And as a teenager, younger than anyone in this room, he already had prepared the manuscript of the Meshech Chachma. And his father, who was also a big Talmud Chacham, said to him, my dear son, don't publish the Meshech Chachma. They'll think you're a Darshan. Publish on the Rambam. And during his lifetime, the Arsameach was published. I don't have to tell you that even in Brisk, they valued the Arsameach. If I'm not mistaken, the Meshech Chachma finally appeared after his death. Rabbi Yehuda Kuperman from Michala, his main achievement in scholarship was a scholarly edition of the Meshech Chachma. It's a fabulous volume. He was a Gon Shevagoinim, but he had a feel, a geschmackheit for philosophy. And he raises this whole issue. You can find it in the Meshech Chachma, the Pasuk Lo Tasur, the Varim Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, goes through all the sources we spoke about. And he says something the Oraita, there is Tiyuv in it, Toeva. In the big debate over homosexuality, which should not be a debate at all. Over Shabbos, I just dealt with a young man who studied with my Talmud, Nadi Helfgott, who engendered that letter. I don't want to go into details now. But I told him that I don't need dialogue to criticize the letter. A guy named Rakefik criticized it the minute it came out. So you see, in all the debate about homosexuality, why Chilul Shabbos is terrible? Yeah, right, Chilul Shabbos is terrible. But homosexuality is toeva, tiyuv. It sickens me. Pig with an apple, tiyuv. It's the word the Meshech Chachma uses. It sickens me. So if there's the slightest chance that I'm eating pig, you have to be machmir. Safek d'oraita l'chumra. Listen very carefully. I can tell you a personal chumra that I have. The rav was mekil. Gelatin. Marshmallows. Goes back to Reb Chaim Moshe Grishinsky. Don't say the rub is my kill, Rabbi Moshe was my kill. No, Rakefid is not a big machmir in many things. Certain things are right. It's a mission in Eliot. Certain you have to be machmir and my kill. Certain things, not good to be machmir all the time, not good to be my kill. I never ate gelatin. Why? I couldn't bring myself to eat the hide of a pig, even though it's pulverized and changed. To me, that little tiyuv was in it. I can understand the Meshech Chachma. Yes, so you don't have to agree. If it's mutter, fine. You have yeshal min l'smoch. But I understand the Meshech Chachma. Today, Baruch Hashem, due to a student of mine, married to a student, Rabbi David Holzer, you can eat marshmallows with the real taste. Wow! Fish gelatin. Rabbi Holzer has the patent on it. And the big manufacturing plant with fish gelatin is in Manchester. So we owe the English a bit of credit for what they've done. Now, they have scandals there, too, right now. I wouldn't tell you that London is exactly a Rakefet-like city with Tzaddikim and Chassidim on every corner, but it's a different story. But the good is the good. Now, the Meshach, you, Yitzchak, am I allowed to feel that way?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well,
you also know that the Rebbetzin Rabbi,
yeah, no,
his wife, served the class of 1955 in Maimonides.
Crafts marshmallows.
Crafts marshmallows when they came over for the evening.
And I got news for you. If I was in the class, I would have eaten it. You understand? The Rav is serving. I'm not an idiot. It's like an automatic elevator. I'm in my house, a Talmud. He's afraid to use the automatic elevator. I say, if I'm using it, you can use it. Now, what you do when your Rebbe's not present is your business. But to go, I gave him all the tribute that I'm making, and I told him why the Mitzvah Yitzchak is wrong, but that's a different story. Now I want to ask a different question. So the Rabbanan made a gezeira, you can't eat chicken and milk. Chesky, why not? Why the Gezeira? You know, Rabbi Yosekeli didn't accept it, right or wrong. If you lived in Tiberias, you could eat chicken and milk. Could be today, some guy will start and we're in Tiberias, Rabbi Yosekeli is the Mara Diara, in Tiberias we eat chicken and milk. But why did they make a Gezeira? Because in people's minds, chicken is like meat, not fish. If you start eating chicken and milk, you'll eat meat and milk. All right, that's the Gezeira. And we're very machped, right or wrong. We treat chicken exactly like meat until today. And someone like myself, who certainly eats 100 times more chicken than meat, for health reasons. You grow older, you know, my grandchildren say, if it's not meat, it's not a meal. You grow a little older, suddenly they're getting engaged to wise women. I noticed that they're touching fish. Baruch Hashem, they grew up. Tell me, chicken and milk, is that God's will that you shouldn't eat it? Is it God's will you shouldn't eat pig? Absolutely. Is it God's will that you shouldn't marry certain arayot? Absolutely. What about shniyot? A fence around the fence. What about muktzah? Muktzah, with the little kids, I always say the first halacha that a kid learns is muktzah. I see it with my great-grandchildren. My great-grandson is telling me what you can touch on Shabbos and what you can't move. You know, I want to go into detail. You can touch it, you can't move it, but the kid is only 4, you don't want to drain him a cup yet. Time for that. One time at the Kotel Friday night, when Rabaran lived around the corner from me, so Rabaran was there with Moshe, Yitzi, and Meir, and Rav Yoshev's nephew, who's a good friend of mine, Rav Kugel, came by, and I told Rav Kugel, listen, eavesdrop on Rabaran. And Rabaran is standing there with these 3 little kids, I don't think any of them were bar mitzvah yet, and he's going into about 5 different shitot rishonim on some topic that deals with davening and the seder and the chazaras hashatz and these kids. And Rav Kugel walked away, you know, it was an explosion. I once gave Rav Kugel a tape of the Rav's tshuva drasha. He couldn't believe what he heard. Understand? So Baruch Hashem. Tell me. Pig is pig. Meat and milk is egelhaftig. To use Meshech Chachmas language, tiyuv. What about chicken and milk? And Meshech Chachmas says, I quote, Avol hanyan biatzmo shamru v'chitshu ev shed einu mitkabel el ratzon. Habore. God really doesn't care whether you have chicken and milk. God's not offended if you have chicken and milk. But the rabbi saw a need to put a fence around the Torah, Mishmeret l'mishmarti. But it's not to you. It's not necessarily Ritzon Hashem. This is very sensitive, what I'm saying. Adin, you have to understand what the Mishnah Chacham is saying here. Yes, it's Ritzon Hashem, the rabbis have power. We can't have more than one wife. Some of you guys are young, you can handle two wives, three wives. Herbie and I can't. No? Is it Ratzon Hashem? Ephraim, Baruch Hashem. Is it Ratzon Hashem that you shouldn't have more than one wife? Yaakov Avinu, how many wives did he have? Avram Avinu. Yitzchak had only one wife, but the Rambam says he was a Seh Olah. But, you see, it's a very sensitive question. Ragish. That you can't have more than one wife? Absolutely. Chayrim de Rabbeinu Gashim. But the fact that we don't have more than one wife, God really is upset. If we had more than one wife, we could have more kids. I just think, if with one wife you have five kids, with four wives you have 20.
It's better for
It's better for the Jewish people. But the Chachamim saw that marriage is more than just procreation. A woman, could you imagine a woman today who has a PhD in rocket science? And you're going to tell her you want to take a few other wives, she'll send you on a rocket to the moon. But it's interesting. Then the Meshech Chachma goes one step further. We have now totally solved the problem of Suffolk the Oraita Lechumra and Suffolk the Rabbanan Lekula. Because if it's a Suffolk the Oraita, there's Toeva, there's Ti'uv. It's an abomination. God hates it. Well, if God hates it, even if there's the slightest suffix, let me keep away. But if it's a din de Rabbanan, God doesn't necessarily hate it. God really didn't want you to have this prohibition. The rabbis did for valid reasons. But suffix the Rabbanan, where there's no ti'uv, lekula. Got it? That's the Meshech Chachma. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Fascinating Meshech Chachma. You can be mitpavel with it, you can take it, I might summarize it. Look into it in detail. It's much longer than what I summarized. No. My daughter was a big shot. I knew the Meshech Chachma. But my student, Dr. Alan Blau, showed me a fascinating concept in the Ur Sameach, where the Meshech Chachma, to a certain degree, revises his thinking. And let me tell you what the revision is, and I'll give you the source. You'll feel it. It'll become tangible. The revision is very simple. When a din de Rabbanan exudes from a din de Oraita, that it's very similar, it apes, it resembles the din de Oraita, could very well be that it's Ritzon Hashem. Could very well be then in a din de Rabbanan, where it flows from a din de Oraita, you have to observe it. Then it would be Suffolk Lechumra. Then already you have to treat it on a much, much higher level. What's the source? And here we come to a very interesting source. Those of you familiar with She'erim L'Zeicha Abba Murray, the Rav gave an entire Yahrzeit Shir on this topic. Leil HaSeder. How many mitzvot do we have? All right, you all know Bizman Hazem Matzah. Maris the Rabbanon, Alat Kosat the Rabbanon, Matzah's the Oraita. We have another mitzvah, Leil HaSeder. V'higadat HaLevincha. Sipur, no, give me the halachic rubric. Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. I just read recently. There are many religious Jews, lo aleinu, in jail in Israel. Many religious Jews. They have marked me, have investigated this. They even have separate jails, parts of jails, where it's Torani. And anyone religious is desperate to get in there. They say it's a much higher level, the people are nicer. Fine. They learn, they have a sperm. You'll give names of some people who have been in Torani divisions. Who's there right now? Moshe Katsav. I think he was the president of the state of Israel. Correct me if I'm wrong. In jail. God have mercy on us. Torani. Ari Derry, where was he in jail? Torani? Okay. Others. One guy in jail, Torani, just went to court, suing the Shabbos, the Sherut Batei Sohar, that's the army division or the police division that takes care of the jails. I just went to court before Pesach. I read about it in the newspapers. And he sued that his wife and children be allowed to join with him for the Seder in jail. Why? Because without his children, he cannot be mekayim a mitzvah d'oraita uvigadetcha levincha b'yom hahu lemar. And he went to jail. I don't know. How would you paskin? He didn't win. I mean, the jail, can you imagine they're going to let endless outsiders into jail? It's true, if you serve more than a third of your sentence and you've expressed remorse and your behavior is good, they let a lot of people home for the Seder. But this is a guy who's a chveis. He's in jail for 25 years. He hasn't served a third yet. I don't know about the remorse. And he sued. He's a Yira Talmud Chacham. What? It didn't be all right. He got a Chalavincha. I want my children next to me. Leil HaSeder. Okay. Tell me. You daven shachar today? I daven shachar. Kesaria, Caesarea. 13 people at the minyan. If I wouldn't have been there with the grandson of my friend, there would have been 11. It's the only shul I believe in Caesarea. It's unbelievable. Sad. No? But they daven with kavana. What's the high point of davening? Shema Yisrael. Tell me. What's the third chapter of Kriyat Shema? What do we call it? Sechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim. That there's an additional commandment, not just Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, Leil HaSeder, but every day we say Kriyat Shema to recall Yitziat Mitzrayim. It's not Sipur. We're not telling it to anyone. We're telling it to ourselves. It's Zikaron, to recall. As a matter of fact, you all know we say it at night. How can you say the third chapter at night? Do you wear tzitzit at night? Are you chayv and tzitzit at night? All right, we don't take off our clothes. It could be if it's daytime clothes, so you should have tzitzit on at night. But the real mitzvah tzitzit is daytime clothes. You put on pajamas. I don't think with all the flunkite in the world today, I don't think anyone is putting tzitzit into pajamas. Am I right or wrong? I don't know. Maybe I should do it. I'll make money. I have weddings coming up. I'll sell tzitzit lemahadrin in pajamas. So, why do we say it at night? There's no kiyum of tzitzit. Good question. Sikaron yitziat Mitzrayim. And that's the Rambam. From the Rambam, you can work back to the Gemara, get all the sources, but I'm calling the Rambam Hilchot Kriyat Shema. Perek Aleph. Halacha Gimel. Afal pi she'ein mitzvah tzitzit noheged belayla? Korin otho belayla. Mipnei she'yesh ba zikaron yetziat Mitzrayim u'mitzvah lahazkir yetziat Mitzrayim b'yom u'belayla she'nema l'man tizkar et yom tzeitecha me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha. The kriyat shalosh pashiyot elu, I'll say the zeh, hi hanikreit kriyat shema. No, it's an open sakha to Rambam. That's kriyat shema. Baruch atah Adonai Melech Olam Shemayim. I took soda today because with the cold you need a little bit more energy. The good old caffeine. Which may be good for you or not, but there are times where you have to be samach on the mekilim. Unbelievable Rambam. It's based upon the Gemara. Minig Yisrael. No one leaves out the third pasha at night just because we don't have a kiyum of tzitzit. We have a kiyum of leman tizkar et yom tzeitecha. Fine. It's the way we daven. We don't kiss our tzitzit at night, but the kiyum is there. Zikaron yitziat Mitzrayim. And the Rav gave a whole shiur, a major shiur. What's the difference between sipur yitziat Mitzrayim and zikaron yitziat Mitzrayim? You see, sipur yitziat Mitzrayim, there's no limit to it. Kol hamarba Harizim Mishubach. It's like you're telling a story. No, some of us tell a story for the sake of argument. We have here a survivor of the death camps. So I'd ask Herbie to speak. He'd tell a story. Half hour. Someone else who survived, the lady will come, and now 50, 60 years later, she's willing to talk about it. She says, I need one full week, not a half hour. See, it's fine. It also depends who you are. The Talmud Chacham after the Seder starts learning. Many Gedolei Yisrael stayed up all night. Sechet Psachim, the Rambam. The Rav always the Rambam. All right, you grow older. I have to go to sleep early. But I was Yotzei. Zikaron, it's that third pasha. You can't start adding to it. You're yotzei. It has a format. It's all year. It's not Lel HaSeder when you have a specific additional mitzvah. Fine. Look into Sherun LeZecha B'Murray. The Rev has a lot more, but it's very fascinating too. Are you Mekayim Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim if you have nobody to tell it to? Interesting. Could be you're telling it to yourself. This is why the minhag of the Litvakim, the Gaon's minhag, was that who read the four kashas? The Gaon himself. And our minhag is that our Seder, we always try to have the youngest grandson or great grandson read. But then we all read it together. Because we all have to tell ourselves, Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. There are many, I'll be a Zionist now, you'll forgive me. There are many good Jews all over New York, California, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts. Halavai, they would read Zechel, Yitzhak Mitzrayim, with Kavana, they would be here, not in Chicago. Think about it. But all right, it's the chosen. Everyone gets mad. I mean, people are so mad at the American Jews. I got it on Shabbos. I said, we get their Trumat and Maestrat, the best Kaman Aliyah. And I see the difference, my grandchildren, my children, their values. And I compare their values to my friends who I left behind, who are in Lawrence today. Don't say an extra word. What a difference. What a difference. And this is why living in Israel is, every moment there's a mitzvah. Every moment. Binyan Haaretz. Yishuv. No matter what you do. A rav, a melamed, an accountant. A street cleaner. The Gemara at the end of Ketubot. A morarim clean the streets. Wow. Mitzvah Yishuv Haaretz. What a difference. Forgive me for being a Zionist, but Zeichi Yetziat Mitzrayim, very crucial, very important. Twice a day you have to say it with Kavanah. It's the Rambam. I just read you the Rambam. Now, here's where Alan Blau comes in. All this I knew, but the Ur Sameach, Rav Meir Simcha Cohen's Ur Sameach, I didn't know. And look into the Ur Sameach on this very Rambam. And the Ur Sameach says, I checked the Sefer HaMitzvah of the Rambam, and I never found that he counts talking about Yetziat Mitzrayim as a mitzvah. Lo matzati! Sheyimaneh mitzvah jitit mitzvahim laskir b'chol yimot ha-shana rak v'leil tetvav shel nisan t'yegadecha levincha b'yom ha-hu. And only sipo yitzit mitzvahim leil ha-seda mitzvah ha-seda, you're right, there are no two ways about it. Sikaron Seicha, Seifa Mitzvah doesn't mention it. The Ur Sameach says, it's not a mitzvah d'oraita, what we say in Kriyat Shema. It's a mitzvah d'rabbanan that we develop as a result of a mitzvah d'oraita. V'higad chalavincha, that's the d'oraita. Well, v'higad chalavincha, l'man tiskar, logical. Why only one night a year? One night a year when you do it in depth. Kol hamaber harezeh meshubach, ma'isim b'vnei brach, shayu mesubim, ad alot hashacha. But all year, shachret v'arvet. And here he says that a mitzvah like this, I quote his language, Vizehu hashlamat ratzon habore yitbarach lechem mikrei dioraita vechmiru besveko kasher hechmiru besafrek divrei kambala. My dear students, what a meshech chachma. So what appeared so simple in the Meshech Chachma, that whenever it's the Rabbanan, it's not Ritzon Hashem, it's the Chachamim who have the power. And that's why Suffolk the Rabbanan Lahakel, here the Meshech Chachma adds an addendum. And the Ur Sameach was probably written after the Meshech HaChachma, even though it was published before. Because these words are obviously a reference to the Meshech HaChachma. When the Rabbanon flows directly from the Oraita, it's the same background. The same concept. There it's much stricter. And if you come and ask a question, Rebbe, I'm eating these gorgeous marshmallows, I'm not sure I made a bracha. What do we answer? Safek derabanan lekula. You come and ask a question, Rebbe, I'm not sure, I said Kriyat Shema tonight. What do we answer? You repeat all three parshiyot 100%. Because that's a safek derabanan that borders certainly the first two parshiyot of the Oraita. The third one is a derabanan that flows mid the Oraita. Yes, yes.
There's no downside to repeating Shema because there's no bracha.
I understand. But I'm giving... it's an example. You're right. In theory, it's like if you didn't say the Mishnayot in the morning, you have to Birchat HaTorah, you can repeat it 1,000 times a day. It's like Kiddush Shabbos morning. People don't realize you can make Kiddush 1,000 times. All you're doing is making a bracha. You come to another house, they give you whiskey. Another house, they give you a vodka. Another house, they give you a rock. By the way, I heard a great story. Let me lighten up the class. I read a great story in a sefer I'm going to quote next week. You all know I mentioned that Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank's last surviving son died a week ago. My family's good friend, Reb Avram Frank, the brother of Hannah Sachs, for whom this school is named in Chicago. So he married a chashuva rav who was father. Married Malka, very beautiful marriage. So he's in his father-in-law's house, Rosh Hashanah, and his father says, "No, we're going to Tashlech now." And Avram says, "I don't go to Tashlech." So his father-in-law says to him, "What kind of tachshit, you know, in Hebrew, what kind of tachshit, how would you translate, what kind of idiot that I get into the family, what kind of Jew walked in?" He says, "Well, my father doesn't go. So his father says to him, "When you know how to learn like your father, you won't go to Tashlech. But until then, you can go to Tashlech." You know, the time to go to Tashlech, to go. I don't think the Rav went to Tashlech. Yitzchak, the Rav went? No, he didn't go either. Okay. Then, a few weeks later, he's in his father's house. And Shabbos morning, he makes Kiddush on an Arak. Yeah, you know, an Iraqi drink, Arak. And his Reb Tzvi Pesach says to him, "What kind of Kiddush is that? Wine. Even Shabbos morning." And he says to Reb Tzvi Pesach, "My father-in-law makes Kiddush on Arak. Reb Tzvi Pesach says, "When you know how to learn like your father-in-law, you make Kiddush on Arak. But until then, you make Kiddush on wine." It's a beautiful memoir volume for Reb Avraham. It hurts me. The whole world that I know is sad. I just called America, spoke with someone I've been friendly with. I write about the family in Washington. We go back 60, 70 years, and both the husband and wife are sick. The hospital together. Let me give you one more source. Very fascinating, all that I've said. There's a lot to think about here. But not everyone agrees with the Meshech Chachma. And here you come to Reb Elchanan Wasserman. Yeah, Reb Elchanan Wasserman. Very fascinating individual. Considered the Talmud Mufak of the Chafetz Chaim. Reb Elchanan was anti-innovations altogether. I always use the famous example when Reb Shimon Shkup, the Grodno Rosh Yeshiva, finished 50 years of teaching Torah. I'm in my 54th year now, but 50 years. So they wanted to raise money for Grodno. And they put out a Sefer HaYovel L'Chvod Reb Shimon Shkop. I have a Xerox copy of it. It's been republished. It's available. It's a very important volume because it photographs the yeshiva world in Lithuania right before Hitler. Came out, I believe, 1936. I cited in my, in Revel, I cited, maybe I cited, I'm cited in Rakof and Aron. You can check the citations. Reb Elchanan refused to participate. You know why? He said, Chadash asum in hatol. Avumim yehet from asazach, a yoivul feshtref. Whoever heard of such a thing? A jubilee. How do you translate feshtref? It's not a memorial, no. It's not memorial. It's a feshtref. I don't know how to translate it. Feshtref.
A celebration in honor or something.
That's right. A celebration in honor. But the one word, feshtref, the German words.
A compendium of articles in honor.
In honor. So there's a compendium of articles and history. And Reb Elchanan refused to participate. Even though it was for such a good cause. But that was Reb Elchanan. That was Reb Elchanan.
He wouldn't walk into Warner?
I'll tell you a story at the end of the shiur, but let me say what I want to say in learning. So Reb Elchanan was a tremendous Rosh Yeshiva. And he was very innovative in his thinking.
He died because of that.
He died because he refused to leave Europe. He wanted to be with his Talmidim. It's a sad story. He was slaughtered in 1942 by the Nazis, Yimach Shmam. So a lot of his Sfarim came out after his death, slowly but surely. I'm quoting from Kovet Sheyorim, Chelik Bet, where Reb Elchanan has a big kuntris. It's called Kuntris Divrei Sofrim. But I just have to tell you, I'm quoting from the Tel Aviv 1963 edition. Why am I giving you an exact edition? Because Reb Elchanan Shurim have been reprinted in so many different forms, you may or may not find it the way I'm quoting it. But if you look for Kuntris Divrei Sofrim, then I can give you the exact pages, but it's only in the 63 Tel Aviv edition. I'm quoting from page Tzadi. And he deals with the Rambam and the Ramban. And all the sources we've quoted. And then he says that could very well be when the Chachamim introduce a takana, a gezera, it is not just that they introduced it, but that it reflects the Ratzon Hashem. That the Chachamim are on a level that even when, I'll use his words, Ein Isur Mitzad Atzmo, even though it doesn't have a prohibition all of its own, but kivnu l'dat elyon. And if this is the case, the question is all the harder. Why is a suffix the Rabbanon l'kula? So even with all the severity that Reb Elchanan gives the mitzvah the Rabbanan, but even if it's Dabel Yom and God agrees, and this is what God wants, but it's as if the Ribbono Shel Olam put in a Tanai, if the rabbis ordain it, just as they ordain it, you can be makel in a suffix. That's part of what they're introducing. And God agrees with it. So you see, he takes the Ramban and he elevates it to a higher level. But even Rabbi Hanan, who sees the Ratzon Hashem in everything the Chachamim do, but Hein Tzivu v'Hein Tzivu, the same Chachamim introduced it, but introduced the concept Safek L'Kula. Now, if you're a student of Rabbi Hanan, you see something else here. You see an echo of Das Torah. Follow? The Das Torah, the Ad Torah, this whole concept that Chachamim have a certain degree of infallibility, this is Rebbe Elchanan. He was an akudist. Infallibility. Das Torah. It's on Hashem. It's a fascinating question. It's not easy. There's much written on this. You can develop a whole thesis, and I just allude to it, because it would take endless time. But if you're a Talmud Chachmi, you'll understand me. Could be there's a difference between Gezerot and Takanot. Could be Gezerot represent a greater degree of Ritzon Hashem. Because what are Gezerot? It's around the Torah. Takanot. Not that more than one wife goes against the Torah, the good of the Jewish people. Not to buy fish, Erev Shabbos, because the Goyim raised the price, goes against Kabbalah. You have to eat fish Shabbos. The fish never sinned during the flood. It's interesting. I'll give you one more story, Rabbi Elchanan, but just let me reiterate. First of all, I'm Modela Kaddish Baruch. We have no idea how sick I felt earlier today. And Malk is yelling at me, why are you going to teach? And I told her that in the past, I always found when I teach Torah, it helps me feel better. And Baruch Hashem, Kacha Ha'erev. So what did we do today? Fascinating shiur. Can't change an open Gemara. Safek deraita l'chumra, safek derabana l'kula. Lo tasua. The Ramban on Shorash Aleph. Hein Tzivu v'Hein Tzivu. It's the same Chachamim. Tiyuf, the Meshech Chachma. The addendum in the Ar Sameach depends what the source of the rabbinic law is. If it directly flows from a Dioraita, Vigat of Halavincha, it's like a Dioraita. Ke'en a Dioraita. You have to be more machmir. Rebbe Elchanan could very well be, if the Chachamim acted, it's Megale Ritzon Hashem. And you can't separate Rebbe Elchanan from his gestalt as Rebbe Elchanan Wasserman, Branovich, what I told you about the Jubilee volume. Das Torah, interesting point. Now I'll tell you something I never said before in Shir. I apologize. I talk about myself. It's not nice. But the DVD on the road, everything I've done in life, I've done in partnership with others. All the credit I get in B'nativ HaDemama on what we did in Communist Russia for the Mossad, but without the Mossad, I would never have found me. We wouldn't be there. I wouldn't have sent you. I mean, who gave me the millions of dollars to play with? But the one thing I did in life that I did all along with everyone laughing at me and mocking at me was the DVD on the Rav's life. Took me 3 tries. I can't handle that all history now. It's not important. And finally, get the finished product. It was acclaimed all over the world, and some of you know the Israeli TV showed half of it a week ago Saturday night and half of it last night. I actually watched it. What you don't know, in the first part of the DVD, there's a little bit video clippage showing what America was like in the 1930s of the Rav being Masada Kedushin, and obviously an American couple, and the chatan kisses the collar under the chuppah, which was done at every wedding in the United States until World War II. And people criticized me, the producer, how do you show a couple kissing? I said, what are you idiots? That's what America was like. It took just 1 second on the screen, but okay. 1938, Rabbi Hanan visited America. Raised money for Branowitz. They pleaded with him to stay. He refused. He went back. Big Balabas, Brooklyn, his daughter's getting married. Wants Rabbi Hanan l'sadeh kedushin. And he promises a nice stipend for the yeshiva. Rabbi Hanan's l'sadeh kedushin. And at the end, when it's all over, after they break the kos, the chatan kisses the kala under the chuppah. And Rebbe Elchanan got very upset. And people said to him, Rebbe, why are you so upset? What's Hatachan said? Why are you so upset? They're married. Rebbe Elchanan answered, yes, of course they're married. But there's certain things that if you do it, le'enei kol Yisrael, it's the end of the Torah. What are the last three words in the Torah? Who's the Baal Korei? Le'enei kol Yisrael. You do it in public, it's the end of the Torah. That's Rabbi Chaim. Finally, tomorrow, it's not free tomorrow. Tomorrow it's $18,000 linked to the shekel to come into Shia, just to hear the first source I'm calling. That will open your minds to, wow. A Talmud of mine, Steve Gross, gave me a gift, dialogue. You know what dialogue is? This is a rite of center publication with Rashi Yeshiva to sort of deal with articles in tradition and elsewhere, and to make what they consider a Torah statement. So I have to tell you, I went through the whole issue. And there are two very controversial topics in here, on purpose, they say, homosexuality and mitzitza b'peh. Homosexuality, I agree 99% of what's written. What I don't agree is my good friend, Rabbi Dr. Hillel Goldberg, puts a lot of the blame on the issue on YU, on the homosexual club, that Rabbi Lamb didn't stop it, but that's a little bit unfair, because Lander and Turo had homosexual, everyone has homosexual clubs, lo aleinu, and if you stop it, you lose all the government funding. Now, I don't know what's involved. You know that I'm a different type of person. Could be you lose a few million, tell the government to go fly a kite. Could be you lose hundreds of millions. It's a different Shiloh. All I can say is there should have been a footnote that Rabbi Moshe David Tendler supported Rabbi Lamb on that issue. That footnote is missing, and it should be there. And if you know Rabbi Moshe David Tendler, he is a solid individual. Talmud Chacham, Yorei V'Shalem. I know him since 1951. So I totally agree, except with that ha'ara. Don't like to see why you get its head chopped off when it doesn't deserve its head chopped off. But other things in there with why you and stupid decisions here. Absolutely right.
How about Jimmy Carter?
Jimmy Carter is students. It's not why you per se, but he shows you who the students are, what liberals are capable of, Jewish liberals. Where what I choke on in this volume, and I say it again, and I repeat myself, and I'm proud to say I was out there way before others. Mitzitza b'peh is totally, completely, absolutely forbidden. Anyone who has any chush of Torah. They asked Reb Velbel, it was written up, what is considered a sakana? You know that the Rav was tremendously machmir on any sakana with fasting, and he said, I'm not, he quoted Rav Chaim, I'm living it in Yiddish. It's a terrible thing that I have to speak English now. And I'm living it in Yiddish. It's not that I'm mekil, I'm machmir, pikuach nefesh. They asked Rav Velvel. Rav Velvel said, ein sin a million, 1 out of 1 million is already sakana to be machalos Shabbos. So I totally agree with Rav Velvel. Totally agree. Who am I to agree? But I totally agree. 100%. So here they're going through one article after another. This survey, how many kids? Tell me, in the last 5 years, 1 million kids were gemalt? No, a lot less than 1 million. There are, I think it's 6 proven cases of herpes in the New York area. 2 died. I went to Lenachim Avil here, and the lady sitting shiva for my dear friend Rabbi Malik Alinsky, Sonia, told me her own nephew or great-nephew died. Brit Milah, Chassidisha people, they didn't make a fuss, never herpes. How can you? And what bothers me more is the arrogance. Rav Yoshev says, it's published. So a comment of mine says, but Rebbe, he didn't publish it, it was published. I said, this volume of his Trivet came out while he was alive. You mean they would lie? He's alive? Cut it out. The Rav, totally opposed. Reb Chaim Briska, totally opposed. The Chatam Sofer, it's all published. Bothers me. Because Shalavich v'yagetcha, we are no firmer than the earlier generations. We're a lot less. And here they go back and forth. One article says it's good, one article says it isn't good. I don't understand that this is Bikuach Nefesh. And if you know the whole sugya, Mitzitza B'pen has nothing to do with Brit Milah. Shabbos, the Gemara on Shabbos, it has to do with Refuah. So Adarabah, if we know what the Refuah today, how to do it, if we can, if you don't need Mitzitza B'pen, we do it with a tool. No harm. Done. Minak, even that you can abolish. But all right, you don't want to abolish Minik Yisrael, Mitzitza B'pen, Gemara. But nothing to do with the Ika HaBrit. I don't comprehend it. And the chief rabbinate here issued a statement against the chief rabbinate of Europe. I tell you, the chief rabbinate that we have today, I pray to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we will be able to change what we have. It's a walking Chilul Hashem with capital letters. I'm still suffering when they asked Haagen-Dazs. And you know the story. No, all over the world. Like, the OU Heksha. The best, most reliable hechsher in the world. As the Eidah Chari did about the OU. Kol HaKavod to the OU. So it turned out the Haagen-Dazs brought in from France uses regular milk, fresh milk. That's what makes it so special. So it's not powdered milk. So say, don't answer it, just say. Kasha la'ochle chalav nachri v'yesh B'toch HaKlida Chalav Amite. So everyone can describe, decide. A Talmud Chacham will use Chalav Akum because it's powdered milk. Powdered milk didn't exist when they made the Gezerah. So generally speaking, every product you get, like Ben & Jerry's, has some products like Ben & Jerry's ice cream last night, I saw Avkat Chalav Nochri.
Baruch Hashem. You eat Ben & Jerry's?
Why not?
A bunch of anti-Semites.
Ben and Jerry's opened up a plant in Israel. What are you talking about?
I don't care what they open up.
They're two nice Jewish boys who have...
No.
I don't know who owns it today, but they have a plant in Petah Tikva. You come to class tomorrow, you'll meet the father of the CEO of Ben and Jerry's. Anyway, I suffer from the chief rabbi. I suffer from the machlekes about who should be the next chief rabbi, but I am confident that ultimately Torah will, 1 second, Herbie, ultimately Torah will win out. I want to thank you all from the bottom of my heart of coming in Modela Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he gave me the strength. Tomorrow's another day, 9 a.m.
You have a responsibility
shop.
When you go home, drink a hasty
tea, right, right.
Get in bed.
Take care of yourself.
Baruch Hashem. I have devoted students here. Until we meet again in health and happiness. That's the point.